Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. If you weren't paying attention to that promo, shame on you. You should always pay attention. Remember, you can see the G-Bag Nation today at Christie's on Lower Greenville from 2 to 7. They'll be talking football, all the happening things in sports. They'll be serving Stella Artois in buckets and on draft. That's today at Christie's on Lower Greenville. Now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much. By the way, I'm looking at the Twitch right now, and it does appear somebody said you can get $5 frozen pizza outside of Bougie Plano.
Oh.
And the auto mod, I guess, either saw Bougie or Plano and was like, not going to deal with that today.
Oh, and they got booted?
They got booted on that. So sorry. I don't know if it's Plano or Bougie. But appreciate that part of the conversation. We'll keep an eye on the mod. It has been, somebody said the mod has been pearl clutching a lot lately. And it's auto mod, so.
It's kind of like our automatic text reply at 877-881-1053. If you ever put something like, stop thinking the Cowboys are going to win this game, that it'll be like, you have selected to stop getting text from 105.3 The Fan. You could still text in.
That being said, just remember, Carter loves y'all on the Twitch and YouTube. He thinks the world of you, and he's constantly trying to do what he can to ensure that you're getting the best and most successful experience on 105.3thefan.com. Mm.
He's also not going to tolerate your BS.
No, he won't. Not one bit. Nick Saban said that his greatest regret is leaving LSU to become the Dolphins head coach. He said, when I left LSU, that was probably the biggest mistake I ever made. Not because we didn't have success in Miami. I enjoyed coaching in Miami. I found out that in that experience that I like coaching college better because you can develop players personally, academically, athletically, and all that little more than you can in pro ball. He said, Jimmy Sexton stood on a balcony when I was at LSU making a decision about whether to go to Miami or to stay at LSU. And he said, what do you want your legacy to be as a coach? Do you want to be Vince Lombardi or Bear Bryant? And he said, without hesitation, I said Bear Bryant, and I went anyway to Miami. So, like, that's a really interesting, hey, you missed out on that one. 877-881-1053. What's been your biggest mistake? Or the mistake that you missed out on? Or the biggest sports mistake that you've witnessed? Right now, I bet a lot of people are saying hiring Schottenheimer is going to be their biggest mistake that they see.
Hey, it's not done yet.
But what's that mistake that your team or that you saw in sports or that you did or that your team did? 877-881-1053.
I think.
Do you have one?
I think I've changed my mind on this because of what's happened in the last 15 months.
All right.
It is not checking down and getting a first down instead of going deep for Dez. Look, I know in 2014, I know people are going to say, yeah, but it's Dez caught it. My concern is with that chunk play down the field where you're going to leave too much time for the score to go back against you and lose that game. Whereas it felt like you had an opportunity at third and short, I believe it's third and short, to just pick up the first down, keep the drive moving, hopefully score, and run the clock too low for any score to come back against you and advance to the NFC Championship game. That was 10 years ago. If you really want to feel old today, that was 10 years ago that you could have been in the NFC Championship game, but nothing, that didn't play out. That has replaced the Nelson Cruz moment because what happened in 2023 and working at the station and being at the parade with all the people was a magical thing that I would never trade for anything in the world. And so I think now I'm back to the Dez stuff.
From the Man, I thank you, Tolos, for texting in on this because I had other stuff to talk about here, but y'all are hitting it hard.
Somebody said, saying I do.
J-Met says, I should have gone through Special Forces assessment the first time I thought about it instead of pushing it back. Probably would have still been in. From the 214, oh, no, that's different. From the 214, Dez caught it. From the 469, trusting that Ron Washington knows how to set his defense.
I get it. I do.
That, you know what? I guarantee you that is Ron Washington's biggest regret, too, is why did I tell Nelly to take two steps in?
See, and some of these things, I don't want to say, like, I don't appreciate what you're saying, because I definitely do. I think a lot of that melted away inside of me when you got the championship. It's the same thing with, obviously, Mike to this day doesn't like the David Stern, the refs at the time in 2006. To me, that melted away once the Mavericks beat the Heat in 2011, because I think Dirk was driven to be the best player on the planet because he didn't have a championship. Not to say that he wouldn't have still been awesome, but I always wondered if they would have won in 06, would that same level of single-handed determination that no one on the planet can defeat me have existed in 2011? I don't know. But that kind of melted away from me.
I wouldn't have needed it, though.
Yeah,
if they would have just given them, if I would have gotten my 06 one.
That's true.
From William Armstrong, my biggest mistake is not buying 86 Fleer basketball sets for $25 a set.
All right.
$25 a set.
Let's talk about that. Because I've made peace by using flawed logic to accept something that I did when I was a kid. So there's a card store on Main Street in Richardson. I'm really sad. I cannot remember the name of it. This was long ago. But you could buy, you know, your 86, 87 Fleer basketball packs there. And I was like probably six. And that was Michael Jordan rookie, obviously. But also Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, Isaiah Thomas, Hakeem Olajuwon, Dominique Wilkins. Like, because they stopped making basketball cards for, I think, like 4 years. So everybody's rookie card was in there.
Oh, wow.
And so that's why that set is so amazing. And by the way, go look at the story about how all of these card shop owners had to send boxes back that they didn't sell, that if you still had now, that's insane. So I had this stack. There wasn't a Jordan in there, but I had this stack of all these Fleer basketball cards that eventually really started to take off that I sold at the card shop so I could buy a Game Boy. Now, in retrospect,
did you love that Game Boy?
I did. And see, that Game Boy cost like, I don't remember, like $100. And at the time, it was the smartest decision I'd ever made because kids, look it up. The Game Boy was the height of technology we had in the world. I mean, I could play this game and just be walking around? What?
Yeah, it was olive and black were the two colors of the screen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But they had this Simpsons camp game that I thought was amazing. And so I can look back on it now and be like, dude, get those cards graded or just keep them in good condition. We're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So it feels like a mistake. But I love that Game Boy, man.
You did?
I did.
Yeah, then that's fine.
Or am I just rationalizing it to myself so I don't feel like a moron?
I mean, you were kind of a chump for that, but it's okay now. That's true. No, looking back on it,
that is kind of true.
Important thing.
Look, there's moves that work out that probably weren't the best. I've joked about this. When I was in middle school, my mom loaned me $1,000, but I paid her back on time.
With interest.
But does that still mean it was a smart move? Don't know. I think yes.
From the 903, Cowboys not drafting Randy Moss. So Nick Saban says leaving LSU was one of the biggest mistakes of his life because he enjoyed it. It turned out fine for him. Like, he ended up doing well at Alabama. It's just that he could have done that at LSU and not had the bad experience that he had in Miami. The Pistons not drafting Carmelo Anthony. I mean, he never won a championship, though, so what does it matter?
Darko Milicic.
That is, yeah.
This one's going to sting.
Keeping Jason Garrett around too long.
From the 972, I bought 100 Bitcoins for $1 each.
It's $100.
And I sold them when I made $5,000.
That's a significant amount of money.
It is a significant amount of money. I will tell you that right now, the Bitcoin is at $105,270.
So if I bought $100 worth of Bitcoin right now,
which was a
it'd be like pennies.
Yeah, good job. Right. You own a one whatever of a Bitcoin, but that person's money would be $10.5 million, I believe. Now, if you go off that system, now would you have had the guts to stick it out that long through the unbelievable highs, the shocking lows and all of that? But I get that. It's the same thing that Mike tells a story about. He sold an autographed Tom Brady rookie card when it looked like he won his three Super Bowls and like, hey, good for you, buddy. Like, you're always going to be an awesome football player. Sold it for like $2,000. Mm. But then had another dynasty and he won three more. And then obviously he won the one with the Bucks as well. And then it was going for six figures.
From the 972, getting drunk the night before my fight for a chance at the Olympic trials. They shouldn't. That's their biggest regret.
Oh, no.
Made the mistake of being excited for a trade up for Mo Claiborne. That stinks. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one from the 817, should have tried to be a kicker in high school. I played club soccer with Brandon Aubrey. Big face palm.
Dude. So
they're like, I could have been a kicker. I could be making $3 million right now, but...
There are some things that I wonder, like, if I would have specialized my kid in pitching or kicking, like, could we have gone, even with mediocre abilities, to a high level?
All right, Kevin, from the 575, Corey, if you don't read my last text, that'll be your biggest mistake.
Oh, oh wow.
I respond to threats. Hey, Corey, I need you to make an exception for me. I, Daniel, in Colorado, just met my first Tolo outside the DFW area.
Really?
And he was wearing a Rangers hoodie. It looked like Post Malone and was cool as hell. Shout out to the Amazon driver in Monument, Colorado now. If you make the exception, I will listen to Corey's Corner. So, there you go.
What's your bigger regret? That was a Tolo you didn't connect with? Or you watch a future episode like Undercover Boss or whatever.
And you find out it was actually
Post Malone really did start working at the, did he say Amazon? Whatever the case might be.
And he was giving away his new Oreos and you missed out.
And he'd be like, oh my God, I love The Fan. That man.
I was on The Fan a long time ago with the Midday Show. Is Mike Bassick still there?
Okay. I'm going to change my answer, Corey. I'm going to tell a story if we have time.
Oh, we're good, man.
Okay.
Thank you all, Tolos, for texting this in, though. This is great.
When I was a freshman in college at Texas A&M, there was this girl. I, at the time, thought she was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen in my life.
Interesting.
Obviously, then I met Jess. But at the time, I thought she was the most beautiful girl I'd ever met in my entire life. And her room number was one room number off of mine at the dorm. Because I lived at University Tower.
That's so cute.
Except University Tower was ridiculous. And the room numbers went 282, 284, 286, and then 281, 283, 285. We're in a different part.
No. It's not how rooms work.
Exactly.
Not how numbers
work. I agree with that. I only found out after the fact.
Mm.
And so she like sat at our table. It was like that Thanksgiving weekend or whatever when a lot of people went home, but we all still stayed up there. And she came up and she was like, hey, can I sit at y'all's table? And I was like, oh my God. Had a great conversation. Thought she was delightful. I bounced, I ran into her several times. And then one of my friends told me after the fact, now this person might've just been screwing with me, but he said, oh yeah, I think she liked you, dude. You should have gone for it. And I was like, what the hell? Now, was that person just trying to make me feel better or make me feel worse, I guess, probably? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe. And it wasn't easy to find her because like 50,000 people go to that school.
Yeah. So what Kevin did was he went up to his dorm and he looked across to see where hers was and he counted. And then he went over there when he knocked on the door with some old man. He's like, what's going on here? So he went back to his room and he looked and he counted again.
That happened in Friends.
Ran over there and knocked on the door. And this time it was his best friend. And he's like, what's going on here?
By the time I found out about it, it was the next year. I didn't live in that dorm anymore.
Dude, I'm sorry, man. That was a time. That was a time for you. But like you said, you got Jess now, and that's what's most important. And that is the C Block, ladies and gentlemen. I have more tomorrow, though.
Is it sad if I remember that person's name still?
No, I remember some people's names.
I want that as a drop.
Thanks, Corey.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up. next, Josh Jung and Evan Carter are ready to roll, but what will the Rangers dynamic duo stay? Will they stay that way? Plus, should Hall of Famer players get a vote? Didn't say that perfectly, but you get the idea.
Sure.
Next on The Fan.
The 1-2 pitch is cranked to deep center field. Margot going back to the track, and this one is gone. Josh Jung with a laser home run. A little to the left of dead center. He has given Texas a 5-4 lead.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. So we've been talking some baseball topics as the week has gone on. Besides just baseball nuggets or buckets, ramping up for the season. We'll be at spring training in about a month. So Josh Jung and Evan Carter, they're healthy. They're ready to roll. What are reasonable expectations for both of them, though? Because, look, like at FanFest on Saturday, Josh Jung talked about, hey, he's gotten injured several years in a row. Because it came up that he'd gotten injured 2 years in a row, and he said 4 years in a row. And...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And so he said 4 years in a row, five surgeries. Somebody joked, okay, but who's counting? And he said, me. And so, like, very serious about it. And we talked about Evan Carter had what we were all really concerned about with his back specifically, and maybe some with his neck last year. But now they're both ready to go as of now. But I don't think you can go into this season and reasonably say Evan Carter and Josh Jung will both play like 145 games. Like, if you disagree, rock on. I hope you are right.
Can't even say 100.
Yeah. So where do you fall in terms of reasonable expectations for what these two can provide, both in terms of availability and what they do?
Yeah, the thing with Josh Jung is it seems like everything's this freak accident. It seems like everything is some weird, like, how did that happen to you? And he's like, I don't know. That's how it feels with Josh Jung. Kevin, last year, he kind of picked up where he left off the previous season. He was batting the previous year, 266. He was batting 264 last year early in the season. Seven home runs. He'd finished the year before 23. Seven home runs through 46 games. He was on trajectory to have 30-something home runs. Is that about right?
Sure.
And then so as I'm looking at him, he was picking up. He was fine. His season was going to be good. The weird health moment happened. So if he was able to get to 140, 130, that's a celebration. Like, dead serious, we should be throwing a party if he gets to 140 games.
Okay. Now, to that point, it's been 4 years. The most games he's ever played in a season is 122. The second most is 48.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
What do you, like, I hear you about the celebration. I'm with you.
What kind of party should we throw? Should we see if Whataburger wants to throw a Whataburger party?
Yes, that is a good idea. And the more games he plays, the more add-ons we'll have.
The more Whataburgers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. I tell you, Evan Carter, who, by the way, the most games he's ever played is 45.
He's batting 188 last year, Kevin.
There are some things there, but yes. I tell you, the most games you should expect to see Josh Jung and Evan Carter this season is 100 games apiece. Do you think that's too low?
That's fair.
Okay.
But based on their history, Evan Carter hasn't even gotten to 100 games in his career.
Right. If you count the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, if you're counting year one, year two, 23 and 45, how many? That's 68 total games? His body is going to need a little bit of a reprieve anyway, just because the season's long. The other thing is he can't hit lefties. Evidently, maybe he worked on it in the offseason. How many games is he going to be sitting out because he can't go up against a lefty? He might get an appearance in that game because Boach is always ready to win a game, but if he can't hit lefties, then you're going to reduce that. So Kevin, if they get to 100 for him specifically, I think that's a significant deal. For Josh Jung, that's a little bit of a disappointment for me. He's my everyday third baseman. I have nobody else that I really want over there. He's my best option as a hitter. In the outfield, I feel like I have options with Evan Carter.
I'm a little concerned that the initial wave of feedback, I'm not saying you're wrong, from the 682, scary thought. We've already seen the height of Evan Carter.
Oh, my gosh.
I've definitely heard people who think that. From the 682, I would say 90 games for Carter, 75 for Josh Young. And then from the another 682, hell, they might not play 100 games combined.
It's possible. Listen, man, this might be one of those where Josh Young's like, fights Bochy to be on the field for every game.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't get hit by a ball in the hand, I think he's going to be fighting for so he can prove to himself. You even laid it out right there. He said he's counting. He's keeping track of this. And so I think that he's on a mission this year.
So I'm going to throw Josh Young's reasonable expectations to be the same as 2023. All right. You go back to 2023. He had played in 122 games, 23 home runs, 70 RBIs, batting average of .266, and for a lot of people, more importantly, OPS of .781.
Oh, wow.
That is where I'm going to set my expectations.
Okay.
Or what I think are reasonable expectations. I would love for him to play 20 more games than that. I understand he might play a lot less games than that. Then Evan Carter. We got to find a middle ground between the postseason wonder boy and what he can be for the rest of his career. Because the postseason wonder boy had more doubles than anyone at his age in the history of the playoffs. 17 playoff games, 9 doubles, and he had an on base or a OPS of .917. That's madness. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you can project Evan Carter to say, I think he's going to have an OPS this year of .900 and have 60 doubles and play in 140 games. Like, that just doesn't feel reasonable. So if I tell you he plays a discounted Josh Young amount and stat-wise, so he plays 120 games, has 18 home runs, 65 RBIs, it's about .250, and he has an OPS around .760.
I'm disappointed because I want more from the player.
Okay.
I really want more, but here's the thing. I went out and got Jock Peterson for a reason.
I gotcha.
Like this year, last year you went into it and you're like, Travis Jankowski. And, yeah. You know, and
thank God Josh Smith paid off.
Granted, Travis Jankowski was an amazing person to be on your World Series roster because he stepped in and played good defense for you and he got you the base hit whenever it was very important. And then he gets a walk-off home run to like start this next season. But he's not you're not asking him to do everything all the time like you are him. I feel like Jock Peterson, if Evan Carter's not good enough, Jock Peterson fills the void. And whereas last year you dropped off tremendously from what you were expecting your team to be. This is what they expect Jock Peterson to be a really good veteran. That's why they signed him, just in case something goes bad, and so that they can rotate him in. So I feel like, Kevin, this is the difference between last year. Last year, we were hinging a lot of hope on these guys without having a plan to go behind it. So Josh Smith was your plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked out. This year, I think they planned a little bit better. So it might be a better I feel a little more comfortable if something happens to those guys.
So the hit might not be as bad.
Right, because I feel like you've replaced it with better options.
Now, to go along with
especially at the plate where they were terrible last year.
That's true. To go along with that, what do you guys think about the concept of living Hall of Famers also getting a Hall of Fame vote? So Chipper Jones is upset specifically because of the Andrew Jones situation. He goes, I want to ask y'all one question. If he plays for the New York Yankees for 15 years with 10 Golden Gloves, 400 home runs, and 1,300 RBIs, is he a Hall of Famer? Let me answer that for you. First ballot.
Ooh.
Time to have a conversation about Hall of Famers chiming in. 75 living members can make sure it's right. And so he would like to see all living players that are on the Hall of Fame have the option to have a Hall of Fame vote. I guess if they don't want to, then they don't want to.
So, listen, whenever you're dealing with this kind of stuff, you're always going to be dealing with bias. Yes. There's writer's bias for sure. That's what's keeping Barry Bonds out of the Hall of Fame. Like you can blame it on the steroids, but there's a lot of bias that goes into that.
So you still think Clemens, if he would have been nicer to people, they'd have been like,
Clemens was nicer to people, they would forgive it. But, you know, Mark McGwire was a little bit nicer. If Palmeiro, I don't know about Palmeiro, but he did stick that Congress pointing finger in everybody's face. The I feel like if you're going to have a guy like that, he's going to leave a dude out that he hated playing against.
Okay.
Or he's not going to vote. So I like there has to be a trust that goes along with it still, or some honor code, you know, that they're dealing with that, hey, look, I won't be biased towards somebody I played against. But when you hear Mike talk about, I was on the field playing against this guy and I thought he was a Hall of Famer when I saw him.
Yeah.
That's different because those guys know what those players are going through and what they've dealt with. So I do like it as a concept. I just don't know exactly how I feel completely because bias gets in the way for all of us.
Yeah, that is interesting because the other thing that I wondered is there like a cap on that? So like I get why Chipper Jones would want to vote for the Hall of Fame. He's not that far removed from it. But are you letting like the 85-year-old Hall of Famer vote when they've been out of the game for 45 years and they're at least 25 years removed from when that player was even in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, that game's not played the same as when I was a kid.
Yeah, so I think we maybe need to figure out some conditions on that, but I understand why Chipper Jones is fired up.
And, well, especially since he knows that person particularly, that player specifically.
And when you hear it on the surface, 15 years, 10 gold gloves, 400 home runs, and 1,300 RBIs. That sounds like a pretty damn good resume.
It was a good resume.
And they're still like, not yet.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll get in by your last year on the ballot.
That seems weird.
Not yet.
That just seems weird.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Can you, Alec, give me some of that cut number two, please, sir?
And now Dallas has got to move it with the clock winding down. Dinwiddie puts it down, steps through the defense, and scores.
Now, I know the Dallas Mavericks end up losing 115-114 to the Timberwolves, and they're going to play the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. By the way, don't look at that point spread, or you're going to be sad.
Oh.
What do you think it's at?
16.
Oh, that's not so bad. It's only 13.5.
I went for worst case scenario.
Well, and that's still a pretty staggeringly terrible scenario. But I wanted to shout out Kyrie Irving, who became the 81st player in NBA history to get to 18,000 points or more. But what really fascinated
Congratulations,
me
man.
Was the two players he's in between. Dave Bing is number 80. Who cares?
John Bada?
No.
Bada Bing.
Yes, I understood.
Bada boom.
Number 82 is World Be Free. Now, I know we just talked about that 1986-87 Fleer basketball set. That, I thought, was the coolest card in the world because it was first name World, middle initial B, last name Free. World Be Free. And I always thought that was the coolest name and just the most amazing basketball card. And last night, Kyrie Irving surpassed World Be Free, which is a weird sentence that I don't know if I ever would have envisioned.
Do you have this card?
I do.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I have this card. This is amazing.
I don't remember. I feel really bad, and I'm sure there's probably people listening. I don't remember the story of how his name got to be World Be Free, and if that was like, I don't imagine that was his like actual name.
Lloyd Bernard Free.
Oh, okay. All right.
Free was known as the Prince of Midair, Brownsville Bomber, and All World. So I wonder if the All World thing flipped into his nickname.
And he was a solid player. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool, even though they lost and Kyrie hit the three-pointer at the end to make it only a one-point loss, that Kyrie Irving just surpassed World Be Free for 81st most points in NBA history.
According to him, he legally changed his name in 1981.
Wow.
December 8th. He said, according to Free, the fellas back in Brownsville gave me the nickname World when I was in junior high. They just started calling me All World because all city and all county and things like that weren't good enough. Finally, they just started calling me World. I'm still the same guy I was when I was Lloyd. I'll say what I'm doing, I'm going to do, and then I go out and do it. So there you go.
Now I've become fascinated by another aspect of this. When I saw that pop up on Wikipedia, it said, if you want the punk band World Be Free, click here. And the 817, World Be Free is also a great punk band that is named after the basketball player. I didn't do enough research to determine if that's factually accurate, but I like to think it is. And I think that is freaking amazing.
Congratulations again to Kyrie Irving. That's impressive, man.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, let's chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Edwards in some traffic. McDaniels, been very aggressive offensively, scores again. 21 points for Jaden McDaniels.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. A couple quick notes for you. Jimmy Butler suspended for another two games because, you know, him and the Heat just generally don't get along. So he's not going to go on their little two-game trip, I do believe. And then I wanted to throw out this note. Nkosi Tafari, the former FC Dallas player who we've had on, is a good dude. He is being sent to LAFC in exchange for $300,000 in general allocation money for 2026, as well as a 2026 international roster slot. He's a good dude. We've had him on the show. Bummed to see him go. Right now, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation at Christie's. Gentlemen, how is you? And can you remind everybody where you are?
Yeah, Christie's on Lower Greenville here with Stella Artois. So come on by, crack a few with us, and, you know, enjoy the fellowship. We'd love to have you guys out here.
Now, we played a clip of the Mavericks, and then Corey brought up a depressing point about who all is out for the Mavericks game. Corey, who do we actually have available that can or cannot play in the game tonight?
Actually, I will just everybody that Klay Thompson out, Luka out, Derek Lively out, Exum out, Harden out, Marshall out, Dwight Powell. Unfortunately out, so we can't get the Dwight Powell era off the ground, but that's it right there. And everybody else is available, it sounds like.
Well, with all that in mind, what is y'all's interest level in the game tonight? Because you're going up against the Thunder. You're a 13.5-point underdog. It feels kind of hopeless for this game.
It is. You know, I like NBA basketball. I like the storylines. I'll just watch for the Omax Prosper minutes to see how he's coming along. You know, as they showed last night, you know, even against good teams, they have, you know, enough to get to like, what, 105, 110, somewhere in there. And if they can avoid giving up butt-naked backdoor alley-oops in the last 30 seconds of the game, maybe they could finish one.
Which we could not yesterday. That is fair.
I'm embarrassing. Did he ever move? He's like, oh, my man's dunking.
Whoops.
All right, I guess I should have been paying attention.
We got to hope the rest of the league like doesn't realize he's a broken player, because we got to get rid of him at this deadline for whatever the hell you can get, even if it's cash considerations.
Yeah, you know, I think they need another big, you know. So whatever they got, if they want to, you know, package some picks and put Hardy in there, you know, and try to get a serviceable rim protector with an awareness above 4, you know, I think that'd be good.
I couldn't believe Gobert bit on the three-ball pump fake and let him just blow by him last night. I mean, I would have been losing my mind if I was a T-Wolves fan.
It was a fun ending, though.
It was. They made a nice run. That 13-2 run was fun. Yeah. I really was believing. I was like, oh, my gosh, they're going to find a way to steal one. Unfortunately, Kyrie missed that big three, and he was kicking himself. I mean, it's a good look. He almost had it, just a little short.
Well, and then he smoked the layup. Fortunately, they get the rebound, and he gets to cash another one. But, yeah, that was disappointing.
You know, the Thunder have to be humiliated from what happened last week, though.
Yes.
I would pick them to win by 30-plus.
Now, we were talking about this earlier. How much better do you think sports are with like a villain that everyone seems to agree, whether it's a team, a person, or whatever? And do you think that the Dodgers and the Chiefs have moved into villain territory, whether you think it's unfair or not?
Yeah, I think it's much better with a villain, with a dominant force that you can either be rooting for or against that is polarizing. I think it's one of the great things that WWE does is they just lean into it, you know, and, you know, that's, you know, I think great sports entertainment, but it really exposes the value of it. I think, you know, sports that, you know, want a wholesome sort of family value thing that they're leaning on, I think they're missing the boat. I think the NFL's missing the boat with their taunting calls. You know, let guys be hated. Let guys be celebrated a little bit more, and it will just bring in more passion and emotion. I don't get the hate for Kansas City right now. I guess we're reaching and coming up with, you know, a fairly compelling officiating storyline there with them having one of the worst differentials in the regular season during the Mahomes era. And, you know, getting the benefit of the doubt or getting more calls against the opposition. But, you know, to me, it's just it's such an easy situation to root for there with Mahomes so much more likable, I think, than Tom Brady was. I don't think there's any bone to pick with Andy Reid. I just think people get annoyed by the dominance and the monotony of it. And, you know, I think they're starting to reach for storylines that I believe are unfair, Hagee.
Yeah, that's one of the things is like some people end up feeling like it is monotonous. It is boring when you have one single great team. And at some point, and depending on what your own personal allegiances are from a fan standpoint, I understand if you're a Broncos fan, you're like, I am so done with these Chiefs right now. But like as just like sort of a general fan, and maybe it helps the Mahomes local tie too. I think that adds an extra layer for like for me personally, maybe for Wolchuk as well.
Former Dallas Texans, like there's ways we can tie to be like, okay, they're like somewhat ours, I guess, maybe not.
Yeah, and all the Andy Reid factor as well, like just super likable. So I love it. But I think the Taylor Swift thing has added another layer of like, we're kind of Kelsey'd out. Even somebody who like pulls for the Chiefs, it's like, it's a little much.
Yeah, but that's the most annoying thing about them is Kelsey and Taylor Swift.
Like the Patriots gave you Spygate. They gave you reasons to be like, this is the evil empire. Screw them. They're cheaters. The Chiefs really haven't given you anything. We're just choosing to hate on Kelsey and Travis Swift and true love. And I guess if you want to write the officiating thing, I think it's kind of blown out of the table. But it's overrated.
Did you say on the field or in general?
In general, I think both, off the field and on the field. I don't think that there's really anything that they've done that's made them super hateable for me. I don't agree with the all the complaining when it comes to the officiating.
What about
don't hit the quarterback in the head, guys.
What
like,
about
come
the
on.
Complaining about the head coach helping facilitate his son keeping his job when he almost killed a little girl who is now going to be permanently brain damaged? Or drafting the guy who punched his pregnant wife in the stomach, or having a guy on video that almost killed some people on the highway.
It's easy to judge when you're not in that person's shoes. That's what I would say. I'm not sure how you would react if that were you. I'm not sure how I would.
Well, I'll go ahead and tell you. I have had a pregnant girlfriend and a pregnant wife. Never punched either one of them in the stomach. I've never gotten a drunk driving accident either. I've never hit and run anybody either.
But
I have been in those shoes, Zach.
But that wasn't anybody on the Chiefs. Andy Reid didn't actually do any of that.
But he tried to help cover it up and keep a job for his son, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not as educated as you are, clearly, on this situation.
I can tell. I know. All right, G-Bag Nation, roll home with them. They're coming up next, live from Christie's. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. You can join us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Good night, Kevin.